Welcome to another edition of The Broadcast. I'm Vicky Barcelona, and with me as always is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah, before we get into today's shenanigans, what's our contact info?
Well, we have an Instagram. It's TheBroadcast999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029, or you can email us at TheBroadcast999@gmail.com.
And our apologies, we were missing last week, but we didn't come to work, so at all.
Yes.
Mr. BJ Shea was
indisposed. Well, we haven't been here for the past few weeks.
Yes, well, that was that. And then we were on vacation. The week before that, we were on vacation. I was just kind of giving a little context.
We always have excuses.
But it wasn't like, I really don't feel great today. I'm going to go home, which sometimes does happen. I need to be away from everybody and lay down in my bed and pretend the world doesn't exist.
Wah, 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 wah.
Also known as PMS.
Ain't that the truth?
Right. So you're lucky. I'm a day or two early from that happening.
Oh, great. So your weekend plans are going to be PMS Central.
Yeah, the cramping should start, I'm thinking, tomorrow or the next day.
How fun.
Yay.
Get your heating pad and might all ready.
And all the snacks.
Yes, if your cramping can handle that.
Well, yeah. It's more like, everything sucks. I don't care. I just need food. And it's usually sugary food. Not a great combo. But I have a couple of things saved that I've been keeping for the last couple of weeks, and we can try to do both, but I want you to pick which one we do first.
Okay.
Would you like to hear about sexy potatoes or anonymous secrets?
Oh, anonymous secrets.
Okay. I should phrase anonymous secrets from jobs.
From jobs?
Like people working their jobs.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So BuzzFeed had come out with this whole list. Like, they asked their community to secretly, like anonymously, I should say, give us secrets from their jobs that the rest of us would find interesting. We've done something like this before.
Okay. Kind of like sneaky hacks, or just things like they've done, like, oh, I slept with my boss and no one knows type of secrets.
A little bit. I think it's also just like... I think not necessarily hacks, but like, hey, you know that thing you really like? Maybe not so great, kind of. Like just secrets in general.
Okay.
So for the first one, it says, I am a content writer. We write most of the medical articles you find through Google. Most of us have no clue how the human body works, and we have no medical background whatsoever. 9 times out of 10, those symptoms you have are not as serious as we make them out to be. We are, in a way, obligated to mention that you might have a serious illness like cancer if there's even the slightest possibility of it. If we don't, the companies or clients we write for may get in trouble.
Yeah, you probably get sued or something.
Right. So it's just like, but they have no idea what the heck they're doing.
So it's great when you don't feel well and you Google everything and then you think you're going
to
die.
Don't.
Because
go
all those
doctor.
People really know what they're talking about.
Right. Go to the doctor. This person says, I work as a wildland firefighter. People really seem to think that we have a few big fires a year. In reality, thousands of small wildfires occur every year. The public doesn't know about them because usually they're too small to care about or in the middle of nowhere. Wildfires only get coverage when they are large and threatening communities.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I assumed.
Yeah. Like, there's always just fires going on, especially if they're specifically like wildland.
Right. Where there's not like a bunch of people around where they have to evacuate and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
And we are dealing with all of that right now.
Oh, we sure are. It's been, what, a month? A month and a half?
I feel like
something?
It's been a month. I think everyone was like, oh, we didn't get the haze this year. And then it started to happen in August. We're like, oh, we kind of got some. It was late in the summer and it's October. It's hot as hell still.
And so smoky outside.
Okay, it's not that hot, but it's hot for October
in
Washington.
It was like 80 last weekend.
Yeah, that's
so...
not, no.
It's pretty hot in general
and
for us.
The sun is just red all the time, angry.
It looks so dope, though. I know it's not a good thing, so come on, rain. Let's help out, but it looks cool.
So this is something that I think I've already known, and I have a few friends who do something interesting to combat this.
Okay.
It says, as a housekeeper in a very popular international hotel brand, we never wash the duvets in between guests unless they have stains on them. It is also very common for the housekeepers to just rinse the dishes and put them back in the cupboards and the suites instead of properly washing them.
Even the silverware?
I guess.
And like the mugs? And what?
I know, like, my friend, what she has been doing, like, whenever she goes to a hotel stay. So, for Mother's Day, her gift is every year she will go to a hotel by herself and just, like, relax.
That's
take
amazing.
A nice soak or a nice shower, maybe get a massage, you know, just...
In the peace and quiet.
Yes, just by herself. And so she brings her own sheets.
That's too much.
but just because this is yuckies.
Whatever. I mean,
but that's
at
some
that
people...
point, I mean, I get people who bring their own pillow because like they have neck problems with this, that, and the other, but your whole freaking sheets and like big ass blankets and stuff, because I get cold. So
granted, she doesn't, her hotel stays aren't super far away. So it's not like she's traveling on a plane with her sheets and anything like
that. Yeah. I still think I would be like, why does that person have a whole like bed set with them? Like, I feel, just sleep in someone else's nastiness, whatever.
I have slept on the old radio station couch before we got this fancy red one.
Oh, man, then
one.
You can handle anything.
I know. I'm pretty sure I'm immune to hepatitis. Like, it's
honestly, the red one
couch.
We have now is probably gross already.
And I have napped on that one. I couldn't drive home because I was too tired.
Yeah, it's probably... Yeah. With some things. Don't want to take a black light to it.
No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Don't be surprised or offended if hotel and B&B staff seem hostile at checkout time. Many guests don't realize how tough it is to clean rooms in the time allocated to us. So even if the rooms are small, they require attention to detail to make them look like they've never been lived in. And every minute you stay after checkout into the time, we have to make it perfect for the next guest. So please be considerate and leave on time. So I'm guessing like the cleaning people are just like, please get the heck out because we have like a million things to do and we need you out now.
I thought you had to leave on time. Like I'm always very punctual. Yeah, because I'm afraid like they're going to be like right outside my room at like 11 a.m. if that's checkout time and be like, okay, you're going to get charged because you're not out yet. I doubt they do that, but you know.
I mean, you just get charged. They just get the money. This person says, I work in theater management. People urinate in seats all the time.
What?
I have actually sat in what I think was urine once at a movie theater.
Oh,
and we were like with a bunch of people, so it's like I couldn't move, like
because they didn't want to like probably miss any of the movie.
I'm guessing so the people before us.
Yeah, they just
and I'm just
themselves.
Like, oh, somebody spilt their drink, and it's one of those like I was wearing like thicker pants. This is when I still wore pants and not just leggings all the time. But
you know that smell of urine.
No, yeah, like I just sat in it. It started to soak through. I'm like, oh crap, someone spilt their soda, and then after a while, it's like that old Top Ramen smell.
But. Well, urine. I mean, like, a movie, like, you have no excuse in a movie theater. Like, I get you don't want to, like, miss the movie, but, like, gross. But I feel like maybe, like, at a play or something, it might be, like, wherever your seats are, it might be really awkward to leave. But if you have a little butt or wear a diaper or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might have been a little kid.
Oh, well, then, I mean, they don't, I mean.
Here's hoping.
They don't care.
But I heard they.
Here's hoping.
I hear they're, after, what, 50 Shades of Grey, there are a lot of leftover stuff, if you will, that ladies brought to enjoy the movie with.
Like toys?
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes vegetables.
What? If you're going to bring something, you might as well bring an actual toy.
Well, I don't know. I guess they were broke. I don't freaking know.
They were broke. This cucumber will do.
Let's see. I'm a college professor. I definitely have favorite students, and I definitely grade a-holes more strictly. It goes a long way to talk to your professors and ask for help if you need it, even if you don't love the subject or the class. Teacher's pet, man.
I'm kind of not surprised about that, especially now that we're, like, older and, like, we could be teachers. I'm like, yeah, if someone was an a-hole, I'd be like, you're getting enough no matter what.
See, when I worked as a swim instructor and lifeguard for children, I found out that when a child pukes, poops, or has a nosebleed, most they can really do is just remove the debris and they can add more chemicals, but usually they don't unless they can tell something's off when they test the waters. So they would sometimes just remove everyone from the pool for a short few minutes. Typically, if it took a little longer to clean up, it was obvious to the parents that something happened. They would cancel the next 30-minute class and resume after not telling anyone what happened. They also don't sanitize the lane lines or other equipment. During COVID, we were told to dunk our supplies underwater for 30 seconds to sanitize them between classes, and that would be sufficient enough. And that was one of the more unfortunate facts from public pools. I remember I took swimming lessons like from a young age, and there was one kid in one of my, like, you have levels. So when I was at a certain level, this kid, every time he would join the class, and I think I only saw him in class like 3 times, every time he'd be in the pool, he would just puke.
What?
Yeah, he was a little out of shape, so I'm wondering if it was just too much for him,
like the activity level was too much,
or maybe his parents fed him too soon too as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we would have to switch, but we would literally, like, they would close that area off, they would clean it off, and we had to move to another section of the pool. But it was a pretty big pool,
so you were still like all up in the little puke particles that kind of swam over to you.
I mean, there's gonna be pee particles in it because people still do that, you know, your Band-Aid particles, and
yeah, that's really disgusting actually. Yeah. But you know, like, they're not gonna drain the whole pool.
No.
Like, that's way too much work
unless they pour like anthrax or something in it. They're not doing that.
Gross.
It says, absolutely do not file fraud claims with your credit companies that you aren't sure of. We seriously investigate them all, not just over a certain dollar amount, not just certain types of purchases, all of them. We have a dedicated investigations team. They get access to security footage. They look up your social media, all of those things. Wow. So once I had a man claiming that he had not intended to buy a boat and someone must have fraudulently gotten the loan in his name because he, quote, didn't even live near the water. Watched the cameras and it was legitimately impossible to tell it was him. Obtained a copy of his driver's license to make sure the one we had was up to date. Still, we weren't sure. I only had a few days left to make his claim final, so I checked his Facebook, and lo and behold, his cover photo was him and his buddies drinking on the boat.
Ooh, social media, man. That can get you in trouble.
Let's see. TJ Maxx, Home Goods, Ross Stores, Burlington, etc. All discount retail stores buy from the same vendors. Like, I'm not surprised. They have the same stuff.
I was already like, don't ruin them for me.
No. But like, even, I don't know if they're like the same, owned by the same parent company or not, but I just assume they're all the same. Like, you're going to get the same type of stuff. Like, if I need
I get the same type of stuff, but I don't see the same stuff at TJ Maxx as I do with Ross or whatever.
Really, I do.
Like, the same shirts and, like actual same thing.
Like, I'm thinking brands.
Oh.
Like, maybe not exactly 100% because it's all kind of varied. Like, when you go to Ross, it's kind of a crapshoot. Sometimes you'll get a couple of the same item in a couple of sizes or in the same size, but usually you don't.
Very random.
It's kind of random. It's like a couple steps above Goodwill in the sense of you don't know what you're going to find.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm here for it because sometimes you find some gems, especially housewares.
Well, and you can't like ask like an employee like, no. Hey, do you have this in a different? No. Everything's out. It's out.
It's not like going to like the Target app and be like, I want this specific shirt that you have on the app. No way in hell. Starbucks caramel macchiatos are actually made with vanilla syrup. The only caramel part is the drizzle on top.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
I wonder why. Because I feel like they'd have the caramel pump to put it in.
Maybe it would have been too sweet. I don't know.
I mean, people like that sweet stuff. Interesting.
Let's see. If you want to get something waived from your bank, so late fees, interest charged after your no interest is if paid in full promotion ended, insufficient funds fee, etc., and the frontline rep can't do it, ask for to file a formal complaint. Don't berate the person you're talking to. They have to follow the procedure. Just let them know that you understand that they cannot accommodate your request and you wish to file a formal complaint.
Oh.
As long as you're not a jerk, don't be a Karen. Just be like, hey, I just like to file this. And then
hopefully they're nice and just let you. Don't try to argue with you.
And I hope it doesn't like appear badly on them.
I feel like, yeah, it depends how you go about it. I mean, it's kind of like asking for the manager.
Yeah.
Like, even if you say it in the nicest way possible, it's still going to sound like a Karen.
Right. I mean, that's why you got to be friends with everybody where you go. Like, if you go to the bank, become, like, not friends, but like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, just flash them. Then they'll do what you want.
There you go. All right. Oh, I don't know if I want to tell you this one.
No. What are you going to ruin for me?
Peloton.
What? I'm literally going to New York this weekend, and I'm going to go to the Peloton studio.
I worked in a warehouse for a certain popular exercise bike at the height of the pandemic, and I can tell you that you can get a, quote, refurbished bike for way cheaper by calling the company directly to see if they are available. I've been told this is the case for a ton of companies. They just don't advertise it, and the refurbishments often have negligible damage, like a small scratch or even nothing. Just was returned by someone who hardly used it. We definitely sent out refurbished bikes for hundreds of dollars less than that they were in the same condition as new.
First of all, how do you know that it's Peloton? Okay, they didn't say.
A certain popular exercise bike company? Do you know any others?
Yeah, Nordic.
Okay, could be Nordic.
There's another.
I don't think it's that one, but okay.
Yeah, that's okay. That's totally fine because I already have my bike.
Yeah.
So.
I'm saving money.
And mine's like way more probably damaged than I could get my money's worth, so.
This one I kind of already assume. So do not put a package you get in the mail on your bed or any other surface you'd like to keep clean. As a postal worker, after we're done sorting all the packages that came in for the day, our hands are visibly disgusting. Also, your packages are not handled very nicely behind closed doors. They're thrown, kicked, etc. So don't, fret if the mailman barely tosses your package. It's seen much worse.
I put my packages on my couch, on my bed, on my hassock.
I put them on the floor and open them that way.
Oh, no, I never do.
Yeah. And I usually open them with my nails, but because I've been doing so many crafts lately, my nails have just gone to crap. So I've had to cut them short, and I can't scratch myself like I usually do. So I'm just like, no, it's like I got nubs. Got a
back scratcher, girl.
Right? I need Sarah to scratch my back.
I have nubs too, so...
There's some where I'm like, you guys are talking about stuff that I do not understand. So no, thank you.
Do you know what I heard of, which I still hasn't like steered me away from it, but I mean, it's probably a lot with like restaurants, like certain food items and stuff. But I've heard like, cause I used to get like taco salads and I heard like the taco shells that they put the taco salad in are like absolutely like the oldest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like how often the most like disgusting like
I don't think I've had a taco salad since I was in school because we used to have that on our school
menu. I always get
taco
salads. Always. Because I mean especially too like I'm a vegetarian so like there's I mean it's either like a cheese enchilada or whatever or like a taco salad without meat. And so that was my go-to. And I always loved the bowl that it came in and I was like, "Oh yeah. You know, probably just like buy these and stock and then just have them for
they probably ever. Make them it's because they're that's not going to be an easy thing to transport
but
you know how they make them because my dad used to work at Mexican restaurants so I used to hang out in the back all the time
well,
I,
those I've are like the real them. Deal Mexican restaurants
but like they're still pretty cheap to make
oh so they're not gross
no like I mean unless they make a bunch and then they just leave them in their you know pantry for a while
they probably do that because that'd be so annoying to make to order wouldn't it
yeah so what you do is you take a flour tortilla and then you put it like a mesh basket on top of it so it kind of creates a bowl shape
yeah.
You push it into the fryer so it fries around the little basket, if you will, the circular basket.
Oh.
And so it kind of forms that way. I know a lot of people will put tortillas in the oven, like, or on top of, like, they'll cut little circles of flour tortillas, put them over, like, a muffin tin, so it kind of it cradles.
Oh, like a little guy.
So it makes little bowls over the muffin tins. So you can bake them, but they usually just fry them. Yeah, I used to watch how they made those.
Oh, well, I've heard they're, like, really gross.
I'm sure they probably make a bunch of them, like, at the beginning of the week and...
Just keep them for however long.
So, yes. Family law attorney here. Okay, if you ever need a family
Fancy.
Law attorney. Also, I hate friends and families of clients. For example, I give a well-thought-out legal explanation of a situation and a plan going forward. Then the best friend comes in and talks about the emotional issues and talks my client out of everything we discussed that would protect her interest to get revenge on her ex. So since the client gets the ultimate say, I can't force an agreement and the friend's non-legal advice ultimately gets listened to over my legal opinion that's being paid for. Happens far too often, and no matter how much someone respects my opinion, friends and family have an established relationship, and especially in family law cases where emotions are charged, clients listen to outside advice too much.
I'm not surprised with that at all.
Because especially if they're there.
Yeah.
Like if they're there with you, you're like, well, I'm like, if... I mean, I think I'm going to go with my friend's advice because you're going to have to see them later and deal with rejecting their advice.
And this lawyer is still getting paid regardless.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, cool.
It's your life, lady.
I hear this a lot with what's it called? Paramedics as well. And sometimes even doctors and nurses. So it's a clinical dietitian here. When you are in the hospital and we come to see you, please know that we're not the food police. Most of the time, if I'm seeing you, it's because I want you to eat more, not police restrict you. Unless your doctor has restricted your diet, I don't care what outside food your family's bringing you. I just want you to eat something. Please be kind to us. We know when you're lying to us about your eating, and we already have an idea of what your nutrition status is before you even walk through the door. I've heard with most doctors and paramedics, they're like, what drugs are you on? It's like, we're not cops. Just tell us what drugs you're on so we know how to effectively give you care. Because they might be able, they might give you something they think would help, but it's going to mess you up even worse.
Yeah, but you never want to like, I mean, if you're on some like hard, like real illegal drugs, regardless of who.
You're not going to want to, but that might save your life.
You're going to rat me out. You're going to rat me out.
There's a guy, I think his name is Stevio or something. It's like Steve and then I-O. He was a registered nurse for a long time, and he would make these skits, but he swore a lot. And he would give you advice from like the ER, because I think he was an ER nurse.
Oh, wow.
It's like, hey, this is how you handle nosebleeds, or if you need this, like how to treat it and come to the ER, how to do this, whatever. I think that he just makes like YouTube and Facebook and TikTok content like all the time now. That's
yeah.
his thing.
Damn.
About like just he does skits from the ER, like random situations that he's gotten himself into. or that he has seen or heard of. He's really funny. So he's talking about one where some guy comes in and he had just gotten stabbed. It's like, what happened to you? He's like, nothing, I'm bleeding. It's like, it looks like you got stabbed. Not saying anything. Snitches get stitches. Like, you're gonna get stitches anyways. And he's like, nope, not saying anything. It's like, I am not a cop.
Yeah, I know, but if anyone knows, you never know, right? You know, or, you know, that could turn into a whole thing. Police, investigations, I get it.
Oh, gosh. The airline industry is a black box to most people, including most of the gate and ramp personnel that service your flight. There are so many complex and interconnected facets of the industry that dictate the experience you have as a traveler, and 95% of them are well beyond the influence of anybody at the airport. Major delays and cancellations are entirely out of the control of the airline representatives you encounter at the airport on your journey. Airport personnel are just the weary middlemen who are doing their level best to do right by you, given a whole host of uncontrollable factors.
Oh, yeah, the messenger.
Right. But there's some people, like, I've seen, like, videos and read stories of people just berating airport employees. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't come up with the prices. I don't come up with the rules.
Right. I don't know why it's delayed. It's just delayed. It's, I don't, like, got control,
sorry,
over that.
Jeez. Oh, man, there's just a lot of entitled people out there.
Well, especially if someone's trying to catch a flight or, like, has to be somewhere at a like, you know. I mean, I've been upset before at an airport, so I try to just not take it out on anyone, though.
I try to just be as nice as possible, and hopefully they'll be more willing to help me out.
Yeah, but sometimes they can't really do anything.
No, but I mean, at least, like, they can't do anything, but they won't screw me over more.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they can be like, oh, sorry, you can get on a plane tomorrow, like, or something.
Well, and that's screwed up if you could get on an earlier plane and they don't let you.
They don't let you be like, well, I've heard stories, people yelling like, you need to give me this, 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 and that. Like, there was also, I read a story where this woman calls in. She does the, am I really the a-hole here? Yes, she was. during the whole pandemic thing, when Disney had to close, she was calling the travel agent or whatever, the person dealing with all these things, like, hey, I had to cancel my tickets because of COVID, blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do to make up for it? It's like, you're ruining my kid's vacation for this year. And it's like, well, we can refund you and stuff. And it's like, no, I want to stay in that, like, exclusive Cinderella's Castle hotel room. He's like, yeah, wow, that's way beyond what I can give you.
Right?
It's like, but you've ruined my trip. It's like, there's a lot of other people whose trips have been ruined. I can't do this for everyone. Like, it.
Yeah, some things you just don't have control over.
But she was just yelling at him to the point where, like, her husband came in. He's like, what's going on? She explained. And he's like, I don't even know you anymore. Like, what have you become? She's become this awful Karen. And she's like, my husband's not even speaking to me right now, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
Because he's mad at the way I talk to him. Like, am I really the a-hole? Yeah.
That's so dramatic. I don't even know you anymore. Okay, yeah. If you don't know someone because they're yelling at someone and you've been married to them, okay. That's chill. You've probably seen this side of her before.
Says, I'm a nurse and I often help people to the bathroom, and 9 times out of 10, people will not wash their hands. The hospital's so germy, I give them hand wipes and sanitizer and they still won't use it. Yeah,
weird.
A lot of people don't wash their hands.
Well, and in a hospital?
That is so gross. This is something I learned working at a tattoo shop. Because I had to clean. We had, I don't know if every tattoo shop does it this way, but we called it the hepatitis closet.
Oh.
So the reason being is, like, so we, because of the biohazard nature of tattooing between, right, like, alcohol with bloodborne, all that stuff, we had a mop and bucket situation with, like, a really, really strong sanitizer. But this mop and bucket was kept in a closet that nothing else went in there. Everything in there was just, we just assume everything in this room is covered in hepatitis. So if you touch anything in this room, immediately, like, go wash your hands.
Ooh.
Don't touch anything without gloves. So,
yeah.
But this is also the mop and bucket. And even though I'm putting sanitizer on the floor, it's never going to be 100% clean. That being said, treat tattoo floors and floors at, like, a doctor's office or whatever, or even hospital floors, as if it's completely covered in hepatitis.
I'm surprised you could handle doing that, because you're naturally just, like, kind of a germ foe.
Yeah, but I had gloves, too, so that helped.
Yeah,
I could just do it in the hepatitis, like, closet and be cool.
I can't, like, picture you, like, mopping a doctor's office and, like, on the daily and being okay with it.
Well, it was, like, once a week, so, like, that I would go, so, and didn't bother me.
Weird.
Yeah.
Because you're, like, always hand sanitizer and, you know, yeah, around here.
I think it helps now, too. Like, I don't know why. There's some things that, like, bother me more than others, and I can go down that whole rant, but I don't really feel like it. That just sounds exhausting. But just to see, like, so there have been many a times where I would go to a tattoo shop and I'd bring my pillow because I knew it was going to be a long one and I wanted to be comfortable. And my tattoo, my pillow would fall on the tattoo floor. So now it's like, or I'd walk around barefoot. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that anymore.
What? In the tattoo shop, you'd walk around barefoot?
Well, like if I was getting my leg done, I had to take my shoes and socks off to be more comfortable.
Oh, like when you were getting a tattoo.
Yes, not just for fun. No, not.
That when you were working, I was what?
No, once I went through my training and I learned that, I never did that again.
Yeah, that's smart.
Actually, I went and got my fingers tattooed with Danny and when we were in Chicago that one time, and my phone fell on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the gal, hey, you know, I actually work at a tattoo shop right now, and I know how gross tattoo floors are. Would you mind sanitizing my phone? Because they have a really strong sanitizer.
Yeah.
And so she totally did. She's like, oh, no, I got you. Just because I knew it fell on the floor. I'm like, can I just, you can even give it to me. I'll clean it. I just need something to sanitize it.
Ooh.
She's like, oh, no. She knew.
Yeah, so, she understood.
So don't walk around barefoot.
In tattoo parlors. Everywhere else.
Tattoo parlors or doctor's office.
Yeah. But on the streets, you good.
Yeah, do whatever you
Capitol
want.
Capitol Hill, why not?
Yeah, just careful with glass. Let's do one more and then we can do the other one.
Okay.
Let's see. I work in customer service and dealing with people can be incredibly difficult. But when you have an upset customer, do not interrupt them. Let them vent. And even if they're saying something stupid, but do not interrupt and don't feed into it. Let them vent as long as they're not calling you names or being offensive to you. You can end the conversation right there. If that's the case, most of the time they just vent to let their frustrations out and then just wanted somebody to listen to them bitch and moan.
And then what's your response after they're done? Just like, thank you for your input.
Like that, or it's like, I am so sorry that you're going through that. Actually, I had a friend who it was kind of the reverse of this in the sense of when she would call in somewhere to deal with people who may have the power to remove fees or maybe able to help them a little better. She would start the conversation by freaking out. Like, this is ridiculous. Why are you charging me this, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I'm so sorry. I should not have yelled at you. I'm just really frustrated right now. You did not deserve that. That was her whole spiel.
Ah, sneaky.
And then more often than not, she was able to they were willing to help and go above and beyond.
Because she came to her quote unquote senses and apologized.
Yeah. She was actually a cool person. She just is super stressed because of the situation. If you're able to make it better, why wouldn't you?
I like that tactic.
I'm like, all right, I'm too nervous to do that. I'd feel too bad doing it.
Bitching someone out at first?
Yeah, faking it. I think I did that with your fiance. When I first met him, I tried giving him this bitch face.
Yeah, you're really not good at it.
No, I did it for the first few seconds and I can kind of see in his face like he wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, he's like, wait, is she serious? Or?
Yeah, right? So he's just like, what the hell? And so then I was like, yeah, no, I can't. Yeah.
You're
I'm just
JK.
Kidding. Just kidding. I think you're
and
awesome.
He's like, is she okay? Is she bipolar? Is she all right?
She's like a little chihuahua. She's just kind of shaking there.
And she's like, wait, I'll be nice to you.
And it's like, I'm just kidding. You sound awesome. And I'm glad you're dating my friend.
Oh, yeah.
So I talked about earlier a thing called sexy potatoes.
Yeah.
It's an M.I.B.A. whole story.
Okay.
I read this and I was dying.
I hope they're french fries because those are the only sexy potatoes.
No. Mm. This is such a ridiculous story. So it says, am I the a-hole? It honestly feels ridiculous that I have to post this, but my coworker has been getting on to me about this for weeks now, so I have to ask.
Hmm.
So my whole life, I've been eating potatoes by microwaving them and then biting them. Eat them kind of hot dog style. Because it's the easiest, most convenient, and intuitive way for me to eat potatoes, sweet potatoes or regular.
Like a full-ass potato and just bites into it?
I'm sure. I would like to think she put some seasoning on it. Maybe.
But it's a hunk and then you just hold it and eat it.
Yeah, she eats it kind of, with between her fingers. I'm guessing there's smaller ones, maybe fingerlings or at least smaller. That's kind of what she mentions.
I'm hoping it's a big ass potato and she's just yeah, exactly.
God, savage. She's like, I think this is how people in Japan eat them, or at least this is how I was taught by my Japanese parents to eat them.
Okay.
So it's a cultural thing. So whenever I go to the grocery store, I always pick out the most easily biteable potatoes, which are generally longer and thinner than most of the other potatoes.
Okay.
It's almost not a hot dog exactly, but hot dog-esque.
Long and thin.
Yes. So I work in an office with about 30 people, and we all typically bring our own lunch, and I usually just eat at my desk while doing work. No one has ever commented about how I eat potatoes, but I do eat them quite frequently. My brother and I, we ate so many potatoes growing up. We loved baked potatoes, and so we would make that a meal. So we would put a potato in the oven.
I feel like it should be a meal.
Oh, yeah. Put it in the oven, especially if you loaded it up, and if you're like we didn't have any bacon or anything to add to. We just add like ham slices and stuff or leftover meat. Oh, so good.
That is weird.
I love it. It's so good. But yeah, no one's ever commented about how I eat potatoes, but I do eat them quite frequently. And recently a new person was hired and she clearly has a problem with the way I eat potatoes. I feel like if that was like you came in and saw that, you'd be like, what the hell? You would just ask about it, maybe make fun of it and then call it a day.
Yeah, no. And then I would judge like every time I saw you do that. But I don't know if I'd say anything depending if I liked you or not.
So a couple times she pulled me aside and asked me that I just eat potatoes a more normal way. I asked her what she meant and she said I was eating potatoes too suggestively.
I didn't know that was going to happen.
I was a little shocked because I literally have my eyes glued to the screen whenever I'm eating and barely pay attention to how I eat. So it's not like she's making eye contact and eating her sexy potatoes.
Do we know the genders of these?
I believe both females.
They're both females. Okay.
I told her no one else seems to have a problem with the way I eat potatoes, but she insisted others were just too polite to say anything. I asked a few other coworkers who were all just as confused as me about what she was saying. So I figured no one really had a problem with this or no one else had a problem with this, but this happened multiple times. She kept coming to me and asking me to tone down the way I eat and even accused me of going out of my way to choose sexy potatoes.
What?
And she just writes question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. I've considered bringing them other ways, but this is just the easiest way for me to eat them. And they're honestly delicious like this to me. Like there's just certain foods that like maybe they look weird the way you prepare them or just the combinations just in general might seem weird to everyone else. But they're just so comforting and so yummy the way you eat them. It's like I asked her to maybe just not watch me eat. But apparently that's just not feasible. Right?
And like how close are their desks together? Like,
oh, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, she reported me, and now I have a meeting with HR next week. This seems really dumb to me, but am I the a-hole for eating sexy potatoes?
Dude, this new coworker is ballsy.
Right? Like, it's not like she's eating a hot dog, making eye contact, and, like, doing stuff with the hot dog.
Dude, I wish there was video of her eating these potatoes. It took... have this much of an issue with it.
And technically, like, so the coworker saying it's sexual harassment. So she does update this post.
Oh, God. This poor HR person, like, right? What is she going to say?
So I had a couple meetings with HR.
A couple?
The first one was on my own yesterday morning with the HR woman asking, according to her, a coworker had reported me for, quote, sexual harassment, unquote, and creating a hostile work environment.
What in the world?
Not gonna lie, after hearing those accusations, I was honestly pretty scared. Sexual harassment is a very serious charge. Mm-hmm. I was allegedly making lewd gestures while eating, despite repeatedly being asked to stop. I told her exactly what had happened, and I was eating potatoes the same way I had for the last 4 years I've worked in this office. So no one had ever had a problem with this until now. The new coworker, let's call her Karen, approached me, telling me I was eating potatoes inappropriately and told me to eat them another way. I had explained to her that this is how I grew up eating them and would not stop. And if it bothered her, she could and should look away. I continued eating potatoes this way. Then over the next several weeks, she kept complaining about my potatoes every time I ate them this way. As I explained my side, I could tell HR was getting really annoyed. I don't think she believed that this was all there was to it, so she pressed for more information. She says, are you sure you didn't do anything to make her believe you were being inappropriate? Are you sure you weren't harassing her, even unintentionally? I told her I never even talked to her unless it was about work or if she approached me first. HR thanked me for coming in and told me she'd get back to me. I think she met with Karen after that. Then later in the day, we had a meeting with the three of us.
Oh.
Karen said that I lied about not doing anything to make her uncomfortable. That after the first time she came to me asking me to eat potatoes differently, I dismissed it as a joke, which, to be fair, I did because, really? Which I acknowledge because who wouldn't take it as a joke? Then she claimed that after each time she asked me to tone it down, I escalated by choosing increasingly sexy potatoes to eat in front of her. By which point, I'm pretty sure HR was trying hard not to roll her eyes.
Or laugh.
Right? I responded by telling Karen I literally gave zero thought about her when I bought my potatoes and selected them based on the ease of cooking and eating. She accused me of making eye contact with her while I was eating, which I think I did every time she watched me eat, because it was really uncomfortable having somebody watch me eat.
Yeah.
So she would look over and she'd make eye contact because she could feel someone looking at her.
And then she'd shove it all in her mouth.
Which I explained and told her I had repeatedly asked her to stop watching me eat. She then pointed out that no one else eats potatoes this way, and the only reason I would do this is to try to be provocative, which I swear to God, HR almost laughed at. I would have a hard time being an HR person just not laughing at everything.
Right?
I just showed her a video of Japanese people eating potatoes with your hands and biting into them. HR woman knows me and knows I'm not the type to harass someone or deliberately make a hostile work environment. And at the end, she just said something like, I'm sorry about the misunderstanding. Perhaps it would be best to look at another way, to look another way while your coworker is eating. Yes. I'm glad the HR is on our side.
Oh my gosh, so many meetings for that.
I decided to keep my harassment claim with HR and have another meeting tomorrow. We'll see how this goes. So she's now saying that the coworker is harassing her, which I hope.
Oh, Lord. Poor HR girl.
I feel bad for the HR girl, but I'm like, you don't want that person at your workplace to complain about sexy potatoes. Just fire them. It's like, we'll see how it goes. Thanks for all your tips and suggestions. I will keep eating sexy potatoes for the foreseeable future.
Well, especially when this person's new. Like, it's crazy that, like, it's causing this. She's causing this much commotion as a new coworker.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, none of the other coworkers have had an issue with it. And she's worked there for 4 years.
Right.
It's like, that okay. is such a headache.
Is it weird? Sure. Like, but.
So do you think now that the sexy potatoes girl has, like, a reason to, but the other girl's not sexually harassing her.
No, but just harassing in general.
Oh.
Because she keeps bothering her. Yeah. That's what it is. It's not a sexual harassment.
Oh.
Okay. So she did a final update.
Oh, good.
So she got a lot of requests, and so she pushed it or posted it. It's like, so something I hadn't mentioned in the original post is that I'm a gay woman, which is known in the office. However, I didn't mention this because it wasn't relevant until now. Karen lost it the other day when Surya, which is, I guess, a coworker.
Surya!
Brought a lovely tikka masala to share. He's done this before the pandemic, and the kitchen is separate from the rest of the office, so you can't actually smell anything being microwaved unless you're in the kitchen. She said it was really rude of him to keep bringing curries into the office that no one confronted him because they were all trying to be polite. Most people were enjoying the food he brought.
Dude, tikka masala's bomb.
Right? So she was just complaining about something. I hate that she's like, everyone's just being nice and not like just being too polite to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. It's like, no one is saying that you are, because I don't think anyone likes you. He said in his home country, really well-spiced curries were extremely common, and people bring them, microwave them in the office all the time. And it's among some of the most popular takeout food, and he had no reason to believe it would be the same here. Like, it wouldn't be the same here. Karen snapped back that we weren't in India, but Surya just said Jesus. He's from London.
What?
Well, yeah, there's actually a very big Indian population in London.
I never knew that.
Or in England in general, yeah. Karen really didn't have a response to that.
Better not.
Because that's his home country of India. Like, nobody cares. Or his home country is London or England. Like, because of the population, nobody really cares. So it's like, you're just kind of assuming I'm from India.
Yeah, awkward.
So Karen confronted me in the parking lot after my HR complaint, claiming I was trying to spite her with the hard-boiled eggs I had eaten at lunch, even though I'm definitely not the only one who eats them in the office. I guess eggs are now too sexy, too. She said that my harassment complaint was discriminating against her for being Christian, and I was making her deliberately uncomfortable by throwing my sexuality in her face.
Oh, yeah, yay.
But she knew she couldn't say that because she'd be called homophobic. I honestly had no idea she was uncomfortable with gay people, and to be honest, that's not really my problem. But she said that's my putting a pride sticker on my laptop a few days after she started working here was the start of my escalation. So it's like, I guess in Karen's head, a few days after started working, this person puts a pride flag just to, you know, get to her.
And then starts eating sexy potatoes right in front of her face because she thinks that Karen thinks that this girl's going to want to do her.
Oh, gosh. So according to her, My behavior was retaliatorial to having her Bible verses written like on her desk. Then here's the kicker. Apparently, I was using my girlfriend, my relatively high-pitched voice, and my eating to get men in the office to lust after me, implying that Japanese slash Asian women try too hard to be sexually appealing. Okay.
What?
I honestly have gone off on her for being homophobic and racist with stereotypes I honestly had never heard of before, but I was tired and told her if my existence was bothering her, that's not my problem and she should just work from home. I also subtly mentioned that maybe this is why she was laid off from her last job.
Oh.
Well, she filed another harassment claim, saying I was targeting her for religious discriminations.
What?
Like, goddamn, I just want to eat my perfectly innocent food in peace. And somehow it turned into a whole religious and racial war. I told HR that what had happened, that Karen claimed I was trying to paint her in a bad light. My boss later talked to me privately and apologized. I think Karen is now working remotely, thank God, since I haven't seen her since last week. If she ever brings up anything about my innocuous eating, my sexual orientation, or my race again, I'll definitely file another complaint with HR. But for now, I think I'm content just eating my sexy potatoes and eggs in peace.
Dude, she is off the rails. Karen is crazy.
She's just an entitled woman who happens to be Christian. Like, just,
wow.
I've seen so many people that are they're very privileged. Like, they have all the privilege on their side. So they just look for reasons to be targeted because they want to either feel like they're the victims and they're overcoming it, or they just want, like, if they're the victim, then people will give them attention and whatever it is. Like, they get what they want. And it's like,
calm down.
But this
person legit sounds like crazy.
It's like, you're not getting discriminated against for being Christian. You're
And, like, does she just go into, like, new workplaces and just, like pick someone that, like, you know what I mean? Like, how does this even all even start? Or is it really, like, in her head? Like, does she really believe all of this?
She probably does.
Like, which is even crazier.
I don't know. It's just that's...
I mean, it's impressive she didn't get fired.
Yes. I agree. I mean,
she should be lucky she's working from home.
I think they're worried. I think the company is worried that she might try to file, like, or sue.
Honestly, yeah, that's probably a good worry because she probably would.
She probably would. And I think she wouldn't win, but that's just still a headache that people don't want to go through.
No, this poor HR lady. How many meetings did she have because of this?
A lot.
You know, she can't, like, quote unquote, take sides or, like, laugh or, you know, have a judgment with one person. Oh, you just sit there and you got to listen to both stories and say, okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Damn.
Karen's got a Karen.
That makes our workplace look amazing, doesn't it?
Right. Like, an HR gal is super amazing, too.
Yeah, she is. Shout out to Frankie.
Frankie, we love you. I don't know where she's at. I don't know if she's here today.
She's amazing.
And super sweet.
But also, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think any of us would ever do, I don't even know, like, none of us do anything, or if, like, we do, we're like, that's weird.
Have you ever had a problem with a coworker?
I mean, problem, yeah, but it's nothing like this.
No,
you know, like, I thought, you know, I thought coworkers were really rude to, like, their, you know, other coworkers like me and such, and customers and whatnot. And then it's like that kind of dance, like, when do you tell the boss about all this? Like, does the boss see this, or is there, are they really cool when the boss is here, but the behind the scenes not so great? But the boss, I definitely told the boss because I'm me. And I was like, dude, this person's a, I was going to say a bad word.
Yeah, no, thank you.
But, you know, no, nothing like so like this, like where it's like you're just making up something, you know?
I want to know if you guys have ever had to deal with like a Karen at work.
Like
or
this
somebody
kind
like
of Karen.
This. Like maybe not exactly the same story, but how have you dealt with a Karen at work? Or were you on the sidelines watching someone deal with a Karen at work? God.
It'd be
sexy
so
potatoes.
Awkward, like going to that HR meeting too, or going to any HR meeting.
Yeah,
you're like I've never even been. I don't know. I've never been at one or been asked to be in one.
Like, I never had to be in a meeting with HR, but I've met up with HR because there was like an issue with like one of my paychecks once. Like it didn't go through.
Oh, okay.
Or, like she, I guess she forgot to like submit it or whatever.
Or
and this was like early on in working here, but
But that's
she
it.
Just cut me a check and it's like, here you go. I'm like, cool, because I need to pay stuff.
It wasn't like, Vicky, I heard you smacked Sarah's booty the other day.
I mean,
I wouldn't file a complaint for that, though.
Nope. Hey. No, it's like you heard because we were bragging about it.
You're just jealous.
It's like, I don't smack anybody's booty unless they're okay with it.
Oh, it's so sweet of you.
Yes. It's all about consent, baby. And obviously, I wouldn't do that in front of the big bosses because that'd be awkward.
That'd be hilarious.
It would be hilarious, but awkward.
I'm just going to bring in some potatoes and just sexually eat in front of them and see what they think.
Now I want potatoes. All the potatoes.
Just, I will get you a really large potato and see what you do with it.
French fries.
Good answer. Good answer.
But yeah, let us know, or if you guys have like an inside secret to working.
Yeah.
Because I think I have one. I don't really, this is just a guess. I have a friend my housemate went to a fast food place.
Okay.
And she got like a special thing that they had promoting, and she was violently ill the next day.
What?
Like food poisoning out of both ends.
Oh, gosh.
I heard her all night and all day pretty much just running to the bathroom. And I'm like, I don't know. I've eaten at that place before.
Yeah.
She's like, I think it's the new thing. I'm like, but that new thing is it's pretty much like what the other stuff is.
Right. Just a little twist with it.
Right. So honestly, I think what it is, she's like, I think I noticed that my soda tasted a little weird, like musty. I'm like, you know what it is? So at the end, if you've ever worked at a restaurant and you have like either a fountain gun or you have an actual the little different sodas you can pick from.
Yeah.
We are supposed to take the little nozzles off at night and clean them.
Right.
Have them soak overnight, like with either a special cleaner, sometimes just hot water. Just to get all that sugar off, the syrup. And I don't think they did that. And I think that's what got her sick.
Dang, like things like mold or something?
Yeah, weren't cleaning the soda guns. So I'm like now a little like apprehensive to drink sodas at fast food places.
For some reason, though, they taste like
sodas at CO2. Like, I don't know how the bubbles.
So good. Oh. And sometimes the ice they have. I was going to say maybe it's definitely not worth food poisoning, though. No. Hell no.
I want to get one of the nugget ice machines, but I'm like, I know.
Surprised you haven't yet.
They're $400 or $500.
Christmas is coming up.
I know, but there's other stuff I could, get with $400 or $500.
You'd use more often. And
I know. I'm like, if I had won the lottery, my house would have a nugget machine ice maker.
How often do you use ice, though?
Probably a lot, right? Yeah, if I'm drinking water, I have to have ice.
See? You would use this more than you know.
Right. But is it a necessity? No, because I have an ice machine in my refrigerator.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
No. But if anybody wants to get me one, I will not say no.
It's on your wish list.
Yes. Oh, man. But yeah, we want to hear from you guys, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.